Let's turn to the wisdom of God's word. So we find our place in the prophet Jeremiah. Turning together to chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. We're going to read this afternoon the first 21 verses. This is God's word. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a signal fire in Beth Haxarim. For disaster appears out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Each one shall pasture in his own place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day goes away, for the shadows of the evening are lengthening. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus has the Lord of hosts said, cut down trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. She is full of oppression in her midst. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wounds. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer, put your hand back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside, on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore hear, O you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. So far from the chapter 6, hearing once again the words of verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his word, that as we seek to meditate on his message to us, that we may give our hearts attention to his calling in our lives to ask for the old paths. Beloved congregation of our blessed Redeemer Jesus Christ, before the age of GPS, when people traveled, they often found their way by familiar markers along the way. Head north until you get to so-and-so's farm. There you turn right, drive on till you cross the bridge over a little creek, and it'll be the second place on the left. You'll notice a red mailbox at the road. Some of us still travel that way. The travel of life requires familiar markers, landmarks. There may be times where we're not sure where we are. Was it left or was it to the right? And then the landmark reminds us. That particular landmark helps us to get our bearings and helps us to ensure that we're heading in the right direction. In the city, it may be a particular service station or an exit number along the freeway. Oh yeah, this is where we get off. In the country, it may be simply a beautiful maple tree. Without these markers, we become disorientated. Just now, where are we going? And as we go, do we know where we're at? In our particular age, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. Amongst this generation that does not know where they are at. Our age is an age of confusion and uncertainty. And it is foreboding to know that the markers of days gone by no longer guide, as we live in a society that in many ways has become aimless and hopeless. These COVID restrictions have accentuated among many the sense of disorientation. Many wander in the dark and stumble along. Church buildings stand as landmarks, at least they ought to. Some time ago, I had the privilege of paging through a pictorial book depicting many small churches that dotted the landscape of our Canadian landmass. And I found that pictorial book fascinating. More than several of the church buildings were now derelict, some standing all alone as the only remaining sign of community of faith, now standing in a vanished ghost town. Others were, so to speak, buried in their own graveyard, some used for other purposes, some simply historical sites. And thanks be to the Lord, some still serving communities of faith. And as I paged through this book, I reflected somewhat on what this means for our nation and what it means for the history yet to come for our land. I'm always thankful to confess that our times are in the hand of the Lord. Nonetheless, the hand of pressing secularism weighs heavily. We live in an age where many do not know their left hand from their right hand. A society, and you've heard it many times, in which evil is called good and good evil. As someone else has said, a lie does not become truth and wrong doesn't become right and evil doesn't become good just because it is accepted by a majority. The Baals of our age still attract many. And Jeremiah could have said the same thing about his times. People had lost all sense of direction. They were disoriented. Some did not even know it. Some were happy to be happy wanderers, wandering, drifting further and farther from the truth, no longer rooted to their roots. When the covenant with the Lord is betrayed, covenant values and social relationships cannot be sustained. And the scriptures tell us of the exploitation, those whom the Lord had commanded a special concern for were neglected. As you know from your study of the prophet Jeremiah, he is given a series of messages from the Lord. And he is speaking to a people who are at the point of irreconcilable differences. The Lord says, you know, I'm ready to file for divorce. A people who would search for waters, but where? In broken cisterns. And Jeremiah is giving a message pleading with them, and he does this over and over again, pleading for them to return to the Lord, speaking to those who are lost and don't even know that they're lost, who no longer know their way, who no longer recognize the markers given by the Lord. Jeremiah has searched high and low for one good man. He's given an assignment. Walk the streets of Jerusalem. Find that one good man who would execute judgment and seek the truth. And there was none to be found. As chapter 5 ends, Jeremiah speaks these penetrating words where he says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my own people, my people love to have it so. But what will you do? What will you do in the end? Our scripture lesson finds Jeremiah still busy with his second message. Chapter 6 is part of a longer sermon. It's not a very short sermon, where he continues to put before the people with urgency, warning them of their choice. Either listen and repent or die. He warns again of the impending destruction from the north, a devastating destruction. But Jerusalem will not listen. They will not heed. They have, as the prophet declares, uncircumcised ears. We might say plugged ears that have no delight in the Lord's warnings. Israel is seemingly incapable of paying attention. They're unresponsive covenant partners. They refuse to believe the warnings are given in love. Warnings intended to protect, to rescue, to help save from harm. And Jeremiah, at this point, is already weary of his task. He has said to the Lord, Lord, I can't go on. But the Lord says, you must. He's just begun. No place would be safe from the invaders' attack. Not even the so-called holy city of Jerusalem itself. The southern kingdom was at the crossroads. The northern kingdom was already dislodged, dislocated. And now, what would become of unfaithful Judah? An adulterous covenant community. A two-timing Old Testament church. When you're standing at the crossroads, what do you do? You need to make a decision. You need to take stock of your present position, get your bearings, and then make a good decision. It's not the first time that the children of Israel were at the crossroads. When they entered the promised land, they faced the challenge given by Joshua, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. You know what Joshua said. He went on to say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Or remember the time when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Another crossroads situation. Two choices. What will it be? Elijah challenging the congregation when he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Judah had sunk deeper and deeper into apostasy. And the situation is very dire. Wicked leaders among the prophets and the priests had proclaimed falsely. They gave a message of peace, peace. It's all going to be okay. Don't worry. It'll turn out for the best when there was no peace. Oh, their message may have had a kind of a soothing effect for a time. But they provided no true healing from the self-inflicted spiritual wounds. They had no discernment to deal with the sin and its effects within the Old Testament congregation. They didn't call for repentance. They didn't call for reformation. They didn't call for obedience. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No. Did they know how to blush? No. When we lose the ability to blush, we know that we're heading down the wrong path. And what shall we say of our age? It is true we cannot compare society at large with the church, but certainly there are spillover effects. Think of our parliament debating bills to expand what is called euthanasia, and to prohibit counsel for those who have been confused by gender identity. Who would have thought that these are the kind of things that our nation is debating even 10 years ago? It's been a steady path, hasn't it? It's been a steady path. How has this affected the church? What shall we say of the church? What do we see on the horizon? Is the Word of God still central in the churches of our land? Do we trust the Bible to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Do preachers still bear witness to the law of God and bear witness to the grace of the gospel? Or do we find preachers that are interested in tickling ears with a prosperity message? Will we go on to defend the doctrines of the Scriptures? Will we insist on doing our catechism homework, including memorization, which is so very important? Will we learn and learn again what it is to be a people of piety? Will we know our first priorities? So are the questions a church faces when it stands at the crossroads. And what shall we say of our own personal settings? Perhaps there are those listening this afternoon that know exactly they are at a personal crossroad dealing with loss, business practices that entangle, work situations that bring anxiety. Perhaps it's a family issue or a division between husband and wife, and the list can be expanded. How is the situation with parents and children? Is there respect in the home? Are you living with purpose, or do you find yourself simply going through the motions? Are you hiding behind an excuse? Some Christians wonder what God wants them to do with their lives. What direction should I go? Still others are troubled with spiritual questions, an honest wrestling, and others are pretending, like the people of Judah long ago. And while we can fool people, we can never fool God. God unmasks pretenders. He unmasks pretenders. The Lord knows each one of us. He knows our hearts. The Lord said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. Now, when we are speaking of the old paths, the ancient paths, we're not to think of something in the lines of nostalgia. The return to ancient paths is not a nostalgic return to old-time religion or the good old days, as if our security rests in something of a bygone era. In fact, when we read the prophet Jeremiah carefully, we see the prophet calling the people to a radical lifestyle change that puts an end to complacency and every false security. You know, there are those who confess to be Christians who trust their bank account more than in the Lord. There are those who profess to follow the Lord, but in fact are just simply doing what they do out of custom and routine. And may I even say, superstition, as our baptism form speaks of. The crossroads are a place of decision. When one chooses one path over another, the result is two different destinations. And as paths diverge, they go wider and wider. At the moment, for several years now, I've had the opportunity to speak from time to time to a Muslim gas station attendant in our local town, hamlet, Delaware. This fellow is very open to talk. And he believes that while we presently walk two different paths, we will one day find ourselves at the same destination. He says, I believe in Jesus, but he does not believe that Jesus is the only way. He believes, and he speaks in all sincerity and earnestness with me, that each one will find our own way. And in the end, God will be waiting for us both. The Bible says he is wrong. This is a postmodern age in which people no longer hold to absolutes. The only absolute in society at large is that there is absolutely no single truth. A public life is dominated by pagan ideas, pagan practices. Now, Jeremiah, with prophetic courage, cries out, and we need to hear his prophetic courage also for the church today. We might pine away for some golden age in church history, but we must realize that every age faced the challenge of standing at the crossroads. And at the crossroads, we should always come to the same conclusion. Ask for the old paths. As we approach, Lord willing, 2021, year end always marks a time of reflection, new beginnings in a new year. How is it that we're going to proceed? We need to ask for what has stood the test of time. We must ask the Lord to help us be faithful to his word. We must ask for the way prepared by the blood of Christ. that we might be true to the faith, the most holy faith delivered once for all. Ask that in these post-Christian times that we would not be gullible and simply slide along, that we not waver, that we maintain our confession that Jesus Christ is our only high priest who has perfectly satisfied for all our sins, testifying that Jesus Christ is the only way to safely arrive in the world to come. Beloved, never forget it. It's not necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered by which our Redeemer has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Belgic Confession, Article 21. Always remember that Christ is sufficient. Nothing more is required. Believe that faith is an instrument with which we embrace Christ as our righteousness. Do not trust in anything of yourself. Acknowledge who we are in our sin, in our great need, and acknowledge that it is only Jesus who can take us out. Don't rely on your own efforts to gain favor with God. One of my most favorite lines in the Belgic Confession, Article 23, reads this way: rest and rely. Rest and rely upon the obedience of Christ alone, which becomes ours when we believe in Him. Beloved, make that your desire for the days that the Lord yet prepares for you, to rely and rest upon the obedience of Jesus. When God calls His people to ask for the ancient paths, He is yet extending a gracious call. If the Old Testament congregation will heed the warning, if they are willing to be instructed, there would yet be hope. And Jeremiah preaches this line: if you repent, the Lord will relent. And it goes on and on and on and on. But there is a point in the prophecy of Jeremiah when it says, that's it. I've called, and you will not listen. When the Lord calls us by His word and Spirit, from week to week, not only in Sabbath worship, but also in our devotions, in our scripture meditation, His call is a call of grace. It is grace when our Lord calls us through the preaching of the word to return to Him. In that preaching of the word in truth, there's that trumpet blast. When He calls us to examine our lives, when He calls us to hunger and thirst for righteousness, when our minds are wayward, and isn't that the truth for all of us at times? When our hearts grow cold, oh, we must fight against that. When we are lukewarm, when we are misguided, when we are simply being stubborn, what a blessing it is that the Lord God Himself will call us back to the ancient times and to know that Christ is that ancient path. He's that Ancient of Days, as we sang earlier this morning. His blood paved the road of salvation. And only in Him will we find our rest. Jesus was quoting the prophet Jeremiah when He said in Matthew 11, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus has the authority to call and to invite people to Himself. He does not, first of all, extend this invitation to the strong, but He extends it to the weary, to the burdened. And this invitation comes to us over and again, also as we look forward to a new year, as we look forward to, perhaps, the Lord knows, a season in time where where the benches can be filled again. Both sides, both services. Sin is our burden, and only Jesus can carry it. Only Jesus can lift it. And he calls us to heed his voice. Not simply words in one ear and none out the other, but to take his word, to live by his word. Psalm 119 is all about walking in the ancient way of God's word. Verse 1, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Verse 32, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Verse 35, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Verse 59, I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. Verse 104, 105, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore I hate every wrong path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my, what is it, boys and girls? Path. Verse 133, direct my footsteps according to thy word. So what we want to be reminded of, encouraged of this afternoon, what we need to hold tightly to is to walk in the ancient path, and that is then to seek Jesus, and his word. To seek him at his word. It is to uphold sound theology according to the scriptures found in the history of the church. Our confessions are to be treasured as landmarks. And while we cannot repeat the experiences of those who have gone before us, history does in a certain sense repeat itself. How many in the ages gone by have fallen by the wayside? Thankfully, God has given us a cloud of witnesses. Christ has put them before us. And we take courage with Christ's work through them. Do not follow novelty. Don't be deceived by false teachers. And don't allow these postmodern times to swallow you up alive. A church must be very, very circumspect, very careful in its work as a church in the community that you've been placed. And it is so important that you stay the course, that you walk the narrow path that leads to the kingdom to come. Our text pictures travelers who are lost, stopping to inquire about the right way they once knew before they wandered so far off it. And the Lord says, ask for the way. But what did Judas say? In defiance, we will not. We will not walk in those old paths. We're too sophisticated. We're too far advanced. We like what the neighbors are doing. We have a higher knowledge. We're able to navigate our own path. Judah was about to be rejected as rejected impure silver because the Lord rejected them. Verse 30, the end of the chapter. People will call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. And these are sobering words. Who amongst us here this afternoon or at home has come to a crossroad experience? The Lord knows what's in our hearts. GPS is not so much a global positioning service, but we might say GPS is God's positioning sacrifice in Jesus Christ. That to us must be a great, great comfort. In Christ's sacrifice, we find our position with God. In Christ's farewell address, he told his disciples that he's leaving them to prepare a place for a prepared people. And Thomas, speaking for the disciples, confused and perplexed, asked, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And then came that beautiful answer, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, beloved congregation here and at home, may the Lord so bless us in the way of Christ as we go forward in the new year to come, the ancient path, the Ancient of Days, for his glory's sake. Amen.